Bible, we have been looking at this wonderful text, a crucial, foundational text, in Romans chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul is making a great shift from all of his theological instruction regarding what Jesus Christ has done for us through the coming into this world to die in our place and we might be justified. And now he's moving on to say, in view of all that he's done for us, how shall we then live? And he's laying out these fundamental instructions, these basic tenets for how we are to live the Christian life. And he's really speaking about how we become like Jesus, how we grow to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And we were looking last week at a very critical phrase in Romans 12, chapter verse 2, where the Apostle Paul says the following. If you'll just turn there with me, Romans 12, verse 2. My translation may be just a little different from yours. But he writes there, do not be conformed to this world. And we looked at what this world is and the great force, like a great steel press that is upon us, both internally and externally, trying to shape and conform us into something other than what God would have us to be. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And that word transformed is the word metamorphosis, like we speak of the butterfly who is turned from a wormy caterpillar into this beautiful sight. And it's the word that is used in the Bible for what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when he was transfigured and his face shone brighter than the sun. And here Paul is saying, don't be conformed to this world and the darkness of this world, but let the light of God shine upon you and be transformed. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And then he goes on, he pronounces the great goal of all that, so that we will know what God's will is. The greatest pinnacle a human can reach is to know, to discern, to walk in freely, joyfully, abundantly, the will of God, that which is perfect and pleasing. That is what we were made for. And that's what God wants to bring us back to. And that's why we saw this phrase, renewing of the mind. We need to be made again. We need to be brought back to God's original purpose for us in creation that was lost in the fall through disobedience. And we need to be made new. And Jesus came into this world to be the one who would start that renewal for us. And by being united to him through faith, you are launched into a progressive process of being made to be like Jesus Christ, recreated in the image of God, one who knows and does the will of God, and who will live forever a fruitful life of abundance. So, the renewing of the mind, we want to continue to unfold that today and to look more deeply at how this can happen for us. How we can experience this amazing transformation. And I've said, no one is past hope for this. There is no one who has fallen so far away that God is not able to snatch you and bring you back and do this amazing transforming work in your life. There's no one who is too old, who is too hardened, who is too set in their ways, that God is not able to take you and melt your heart and within a very short time to set you on a whole new path of life and fruitfulness. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we want to be looking into this. It should be our great passion. This is really God's agenda for you and me. This is what he wants us to be about, this renewing process. And it's intentional, isn't it? Paul talks about the renewing of your mind, and throughout the Bible, we are called to this. We are called to be renewed, to go through the renewing, to do the things that are necessary in order for this to happen. So we want to understand our part in this. Let's start by remembering that God has done an amazing work in everyone who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given to us new minds. We saw in the previous weeks that for the Bible, the mind is not just the brain, but it is the control tower of our entire life. It is that core from which all of our thoughts and words and deeds flow. It is from where we will, where we imagine. Everything comes out of the mind. It's also called the heart. It's called the spirit. Those are all sorts of synonymous biblical expressions for this central place that God created inside each one of us. We're not just physical beings. We're not just a collection of cells and chemicals. We are spiritual beings first and foremost. And God has created us with this amazing place called the mind. That got very messed up, turned away from Him, filled with darkness, filled with ignorance. It became driven by passions and desires, and it needs to be renewed. That is true for you. It is true for me. And the only way that will happen is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus came into this world to provide a way whereby your mind, my mind, might be renewed. And it begins with a miraculous rebirth that occurs, where the Holy Spirit comes into that place in you, that inner place, and takes that old sort of spiritually dead husk and just zaps it with the resurrection life of Jesus. And we read about this amazing miracle in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let me just read that for you. You don't need to turn there. But it says there, the natural person, okay, how we naturally are, just by birth, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of God, the mind of the Lord, so as to instruct him? And then Paul says these amazing words, stunning words. But we have the mind of Christ. Those are incredible words. The most amazing proclamation of what has happened to a Christian. From our minds being in the state of total deadness to the things of God, where the things of God are just foolishness, suddenly we've been given the mind of Christ, and we can know God, we can respond to God, God indwells our lives, He transforms our lives, we live for God, our lives are turned upside down, inside out, radically changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what happens to everyone who becomes a Christian. And I just want to say to you today, if you haven't known that in your life, you may be a very good person, you may be a very religious person, but until you know that in your life, you haven't become a Christian. And this is what Jesus wants to give you. This is what He freely offers to anyone who will ask. So that's the starting place. But having received the mind of Christ and this new principle of life where God is now alive to us, and think of the day that you became a Christian and the joy of that and how everything seemed different. and how suddenly you knew Jesus Christ, and you knew the love and the acceptance of God and the forgiveness of your sins, and your life had a whole new direction and purpose. And yet we find that very quickly we begin to experience the frustrations of the old ways of thinking, the old ways of doing, the old desires, and we realize, wow, they're still with me. And so I have this new in me. I see everything differently. I have this new power. I have these new yearnings. And yet at the same time, there's this terrible contradiction. And there's still the old patterns. There's the old attractions. There's the old ways of thinking. There's the old attitudes. And we find ourselves torn. And the old is so powerful. And that's why Paul says, do not be conformed to the old, to the world, to the flesh. Because he's acknowledging, wow, it's a very powerful reality in our lives. So, the old well-worn paths and habits and ways of looking at ourselves and others and God are still very much with us as Christians. We could say that we are people who have certain sets of mind, where our mind is like in concrete from the past. And these mindsets need to be broken up. We just had a section of our driveway redone. And that driveway was hard. And they had to come in with jackhammers and break it up and take out the pieces and dump them into a pile somewhere else and pour in new concrete. And you see, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life and mine. He wants to do a transforming, powerful work like that to get rid of these mindsets that grip us. A mindset, a spiritual mindset from the old life, is sort of a default pattern that we will continually go back to unless we're guarding against it, unless we're actively fighting it, unless we have the spiritual weapons and know how to use them, you see? So we all have these default patterns in our life. What are your default patterns? What are your mindsets that you continually fall back into? We need to know those things. And you see, the terrible thing is that these things will continue to grip our lives like you ever have a hair that's out of place, it grows the wrong way, and you're just constantly putting it back in place? That's what these mindsets, these default things are like in our life. And they need constant addressing. We're like the person who comes out of prison. And, he's been freed. He's gone through a rehabilitation program. He's provided a mentor. He's provided counseling. He's provided a whole new life, a job. And what happens after a very short time? The old patterns are so real to him, though he has the best intentions. He finds himself going back into the old ways, right? Recidivism, it's called. And finds himself back in prison again. Do you realize that we are spiritual recidivists? Very much so. We are spiritual recidivists. And we need God's help in order to keep from going back into these old broken ways. Because you see, anything that grips our life and controls us, anything that lays hold of us that is characterized by the old man, no matter how subtle it may be, if it lays hold of us and controls us, it may be an attitude, it may be a spirit, it may be an emotion, whatever it is, it may be a wrong belief, a lie, it may be a wound from the past that withers us inside, whatever it is, if it holds us, it will be a wedge between ourselves and God. And you will not grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You will not live into the new life that he has for you. So we want to understand these mindsets that have this very destructive power, and we desperately need to free up the Holy Spirit, who desires to do and is able to do a renewing work in our lives. Now, here's an interesting thing. The Holy Spirit is God's sovereign power. The Holy Spirit is not dependent on us. But God has ordained, for very mysterious reasons that we can discuss, some we know, some we don't, but He's ordained that your process of becoming like Jesus Christ, though it is the work of the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit can change the inside of you. Yet you need to be cooperative in that. You need to be a partner in that. You need to be freeing that, enabling that, intentionally working at that. God wants there to be this partnership, you see, for wonderful reasons, eternal purposes. And so if we stand in the way of the Spirit and quench the Spirit by maintaining these wedges, then our conscience becomes unsettled, the joy we once knew is lost, we become self-incriminating, our lives are filled with doubts, and we are often unable to find the way back to that wonderful joy we first knew when we came to know the Lord. Isn't that sad? There was a man, a 19th century poet named William Cowper, close friend of John Newton's, and they wrote these hymns together called the Only Hymns. But John Cowper was a man of very sensitive temperament. He was often very depressed, and he experienced this sort of reality in his spiritual walk, and he wrote a hymn called, Oh, for a Closer Walk with God. And one of the verses said this, Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? Now, that really captures it, doesn't it? That pain of being in a place where you can't get back and where something's happened between you and the Lord. And you see, the answer is not to try to do it yourself, not to try to do something to earn God's favor, or not just to wait for God to zap you or to go to some wonderful worship and try to get yourself pumped up again with emotion. God's way is the renewing of your mind. That's what the Scriptures teach, is the way to come back into this vibrant life that God wants to give you. And as we look at ourselves and evaluate the things within us, you know, it's not only the behavioral wrongs that get in the way with God. In fact, usually it's something much deeper. The behavioral issues of our lives reflect deeper hidden things. And we need to go deeper if we're ever going to really find Christ. There's a man named Tom. And he was a young man who had a powerful conversion and just knew the amazing transformation of God, freeing him from all this destructive stuff in his life, filling his life with joy. And yet, as time went on, he began to experience deep, deep depression in his life. He had an emotional problem, and it was these dark, dark times where it just seemed like God wasn't there, where he just hated himself. He went into the deepest dungeon of despair. And this would happen to him over and over and over again. And he went to the pastor of his church, and the pastor said, well, it sounds to me like you need some counseling. So the pastor recommended a counselor, and he went to the counselor, and the counselor sat and listened and listened and listened and asked questions and listened and listened and listened. And then they worked on his family background and past, and He sort of unraveled wounds and hurts from his past. And then he still had depression, so they began looking at different techniques he could use to try to lift up himself up, sort of therapeutic techniques, diverting his mind in different ways, trying to dwell on good things, exercise, you know, all the things that would help him. That didn't work, so finally the counselor said, you know, I think you must have chemical depression, and put him on Prozac. This was years ago. And so poor Tom is on Prozac, and he finds himself just sort of becoming a brain-numbed robot, not feeling anything. And that gave him a different type of discouragement. He felt like he had lost himself. About that time, he moved, and he went to another church. And at this church, the pastor sat down with him and met with him and took interest and got him into a discipleship class where they would meet together once a week and they would read scripture together. And Tom began to realize that he really didn't know God. But though he had this wonderful experience of rebirth, he didn't understand the new relationship he had with God. He still saw God as someone who stood over him in judgment, someone to be afraid of. And he saw himself fundamentally as still a very sinful failure of a person. And as he began to hear the gospel instruction of who God is and what God has done through Jesus Christ, the new relationship that God will never hold sin against us again, it has been cast into the depths of the sea, as we read earlier today, and that God has now adopted us and we are his own beloved children and nothing can separate us from his love, as he began to understand what it means to be justified by faith and declared legally right in God's sight, and the boldness of access he had to come to God, and the work of the Holy Spirit that was available to him, and being a new creation and one who had a great inheritance. And as all of these truths began to pervade his heart, it wasn't overnight, but very gradually he began to experience the renewal of his mind and the changing of his thought patterns. And the old lies that used to afflict him and the dark thoughts were able to be fought off with truth. And he was able to take a stand in joy and find victory over these tendencies and patterns that had defeated him for so long. And Tom became a very fruitful and is still serving the Lord in his church. Very fruitful servant of Christ, with great joy in his life. We all carry wounds from the fall. We view ourselves and others and God through the lenses of past wounds, trauma, upbringing, mindsets. We have futile patterns of behavior. But if you are in Christ, there is no reason for you to continue in bondage to these things. And the call is the renewing of the mind. Beholding him, as we saw last week, and reckoning yourself dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. Now, it is the Holy Spirit's work in us. And next week, we're going to continue to look at how the Holy Spirit does this work and how we cooperate with it. But today I just want to say that all of us have consuming thoughts and distractions. We have wounds from others. We have wrong patterns of thinking about ourselves. We have critical and bitter hearts toward others. We have moods and emotions that grip and overwhelm us and paralyze us. We have desires that inflame and consume. We have ways of coping that are broken, that promise release but only destroy us. We have obsessions and idols that we serve instead of God. I ask you, what is holding you today? What is the wedge in your heart? And are you desirous to know the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, we sang in the beginning today. And it all begins with beholding Him. It's amazing how one moment of looking into the eyes of the one who dearly, dearly loves us, the one who is there for us, the one who has the power, can just radically free us and deliver us. Just to be in His presence through faith is the beginning point, as we've said. My mother is 96 years old. She wakes up every morning. She's really not able to walk. She's confined to her bed. And she wakes up every morning. She's lost the love of her life. She's there alone with caretakers in the house. And the first thought in her mind when she wakes up is, I don't want to get out of bed. I just want to go. I just want this to end. Every morning, that's the first thought in her mind. And yet when I call her later in the day, she's filled with joy. She's smiling. You know, she's an inspiration to me. And I say, Mom, how do you do it? Because she tells me about the morning when she wakes up, and she says, well, you know, after seeing or looking at myself and my own feelings, I look past myself and I see one standing over my bed. I see my Lord Jesus, and He's there with His arms open to me and a smile upon His face. And I know that He has the grace that I need, the strength that I need. I know that He has wonderful promises to help me get through all of the hardships of my therapy and of my life right now, and my loneliness is present for me. And I know that He has something for me to do. He has people for me to love, my caretakers and my family. And she said, it's in that moment that something happens and I'm able to get out of bed for another day with joy. See, that's the renewing of the mind. Each day, each moment of the day, as these things afflict us, it is looking to Christ, beholding Him, reckoning who you are in Him, and seeking first the kingdom of God.